Are the exemplary qualities of a saintly king, not only a king, but also leaders of modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly characteristics. Then the citizens of the state can be happy. Heskari stated here that citizens thought of Dhruva Maharaj as the father. As a child, depending on the able father, is completely satisfied, so the citizens of the state, being protected by the state or the king, should remain satisfied in every respect. At the present moment, however, there is no guarantee by the government that even the primary necessities of life in the state, meaning the protection of the lives and property of the citizens. One word is very significant in this connection, Brahmanyam. Dhruva Maharaj was very devoted to the Brahmanas, who engage in the study of the Vedas and thereby know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always busy propagating Krishna consciousness. The state should be very respectful to societies that distribute God consciousness all over the world. But unfortunately, in the present moment, there is no state or government support given to such movements. As for good qualities, it is very difficult to find anyone in state administration with any good qualities. The administrators simply sit in their administrative posts and say no to every request, as if they were paid to say no to the citizens. In other words, Dina Bhatsalam is very significant. Also, the state head should be very kind to the innocent. Unfortunately, in this age, the state agents and presidents draw good salaries from the state and they pose themselves as very pious, but they allow the running of the slaughterhouses where innocent animals are killed. If we try to compare the godly qualities of Dhruva Maharaj with the qualities of modern statesmen, we can see that there's no actual comparison. Dhruva Maharaj was present in Satyuga, as will be clear from the next verses. He was the ideal king in Satyuga. Government administration in the present age, Kali Yuga, is bereft of all godly qualities. Considering all these points, the people today have no alternative but to take Krishna consciousness for protection of religion, life, and property. Dhruva Maharaj ruled this planet for 36,000 years. He diminished the reaction of pious activities by enjoyment, and by practicing austerities, he diminished inauspicious reactions. Wherefore, that Dhruva ruled over the planet for 36,000 years means he was present in Satyuga, because in Satyuga people used to live for 100,000 years. In the next Yuga, Treta, people used to live for 10,000 years, the next Dwapara Yuga for 1,000 years. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life is 100 years. With the change of Yuga's duration of life and memory, the quality of kindness and other good qualities diminish. There are two kinds of activities, namely pious and impious. Pious activities, one can gain facilities for higher material enjoyment, but due to impious activities, one has to undergo severe distress. A devotee, however, is not interested in enjoyment or affected by distress. When he is prosperous, he knows, I am diminishing the results of my pious activities, and when he is in distress, he knows, I am diminishing the reactions of my impious activities. A devotee is not concerned with enjoyment or distress. He simply desires to execute devotional service. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotional service should be apratiyata, unchecked by material conditions. Happiness or distress. The devotee undergoes processes of austerity, such as observing Ekadasi and similar other fasting days, and refraining from illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus he becomes purified from the reaction of his past impious life, and because he engages in devotional service, which is the most pious activity, he enjoys life without separating endeavor. As I grew, Maharaj endowed with all godly qualities, he was very respectful of the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and very kind to the poor and innocent, and protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens. Dhruva Maharaj ruled over the planet for 36,000 years. He diminished the reactions of pious activities by enjoyment, and by practicing austerity, he diminished inauspicious reactions. So this further describes what Dhruva Maharaj did when he was ruling. So this verse here describes that he acted according to Dharma. And the principle of the king is to protect the citizens. This is the duty of Kshatriya, especially the king. So he did that. How he protected them? He instituted the rules of Dharma. Now he followed the rules of Dharma. So among those rules, we see that one should respect the Brahmins, and one should be kind to the miserable. In other words, if someone is suffering in the state, one should take care of them. So this is the duty of the king. He has to care for all the citizens. He is considered to be like the father of the citizens. Just as the father takes care of his personal children, so the king takes care of all the citizens as his children. So this is a type of conduct that all the different kings follow. So Dhruva actually appeared not thousands or millions of years ago, but many millions of years ago, because he was born at the beginning of the day of Brahma in Swayambhuva Manvantara, which is the first cycle of 71 yuga cycles. In our present condition, we are in the seventh cycle of 71 yuga cycles, in the middle of the day of Brahma. So this event actually happened long, long ago. And we will see that the kings in various places in the Swayambhuva Manvantara, they lived for extraordinary long periods of time. Not only Dhruva, but Priyavrata lived a long period of time, and Manu, of course, lives for the whole, resides over the whole of the 71 yuga cycles, very extensive periods of life. So it is not surprising that Dhruva will rule for 36,000 years. We see the life of Manu, his reign lasts 4 million times 71. So that's a long period of time. So Dhruva here ruled for 36,000 years, acting properly as the king. And it is mentioned that he dissolved his punyas by enjoying them, and he dissolved bad karmas by practicing austerities. This, of course, is not literal, because Dhruva is beyond all of this. He's already seen the Lord and developed his bhakti and everything, so he does not have to do any of this. These are all, whatever has to be done is accomplished by the process of bhakti. However, even the devotee takes the attitude that whatever happens in this world is due to his karma. Though, technically we see that bhakti destroys karma, so therefore the devotee should have no karma. Still, the devotee feels that I am subject to karma, and therefore I will suffer what I have to suffer, or take what I have to enjoy, but I will not be attached to it either way. I will simply expend those karmas of this lifetime. On the other hand, the devotee continues his bhakti. And in this way, he gains the mercy of the Supreme Lord by performing bhakti. So he gives no regard for happiness and distress, which whatever the causes are, rather he concentrates on serving the Supreme Lord. So that is the ideal position of the devotee. So technically, bhakti itself destroys both punya and papa without any having to do anything else. Normally, we have to dissolve our suffering by enduring it, suffering it. And again, the punyas we have to dissolve by enjoying them. That's the normal way of karma. But the process of bhakti actually destroys all pap and punya. And by doing so, we're free from the material world. And liberation is automatically accomplished, and we can go to the spiritual world. So it's not the concern of the devotee one way or the other what happens with all this karma. It automatically is dissolved by the process of bhakti itself. We do not have to worry about that. But his attitude in all conditions in this material world, he takes the attitude that whatever has happened is my karma, and I should suffer for that. It is self-created karma, so therefore I should take responsibility for it. and he continues his bhakti. Huh? And in the case of Dhruva, we see because he was such an advanced devotee that there was no question of him having real effects of karma and such at all. So therefore he didn't have to worry about this also. However, as a ideal person, he goes through the motions of acting like a normal person in this material world. And therefore did all these activities. But, as mentioned in the previous verse, he actually was at all times dedicated to the Supreme Lord and thinking of the Supreme Lord and all these different duties he was doing. And so he's actually untouched by any of the activities he was doing, even though they involved karma. So the devotee destroys not only all the past karmas, but he does not accrue new karmas. So in other words, we do activities now, and then we accrue new karmas for future lives. But this was also destroyed by bhakti. So Dhruva had no future karmas, he destroyed all past karmas, and by doing these activities, he did not get any future karmas. Normally, if Dhruva follows this process of being a good king, that will give him punya. By following Dharma, he'll get punya. And then he'll have to get born again in the material world to enjoy the punya, somewhere in Svargaloka or wherever. Huh? So, that also is not good. well, not for him, and if at least for normal people, yes, they would like to go to Svargaloka. For Dhruva, no. It is another type of bondage. Huh? But because he performed bhakti, all that also was not there. He got no results by doing the Dharma at all. So the normal motivation for Dharma is we want to get the good results. He didn't want good results. He simply did bhakti, and those results were cancelled out automatically by bhakti. So he was not bound by getting the enjoyment of the material world. And as for the sinful activities, he didn't do any sinful activities we see here. Of course, we can say that because he killed too many yakshas, maybe he got some sinful reaction for that. But because he was an ideal king, we can say that any sin was only accidental or something like that, and nothing very serious for him. So he didn't have to worry about future sins. And we see from his early childhood he was a devotee, so even then past sinful activities must have been minimal. Otherwise, how could he have determination to practice bhakti? And then by performing bhakti, whatever remaining karmas were there, he also destroyed those karmas. So we should understand that Dhruva actually didn't have any karmas, so to speak. He was actually free. And in the next verses will show that he retired, and then he was taken by the Vishnu Dutas up to Dhruva Loka. So he was completely free of karmas, though it is stated that he had karmas. We should not think that he actually had real karmas. Sometimes the Lord will put what looks like karmas there in a devotee's life, even though he is free from karma. So the Lord gives remnants of karma, so to speak, like traces of karma, even for the absolutely pure devotee of the Lord, no karmas. There's still a pattern that looks like karma. So we could call that karma in one sense, but it is under the Supreme Lord. It is not because of his sinful activities at all. It's simply a pattern the Lord keeps there. Huh? So in that sense, there may be some pattern of karma also, but actually, by the process of bhakti, everything is destroyed. So Dhruva ruled for 36,000 years. He did his dharma, and he also did that bhakti for that period of time. Therefore, that bhakti, doing bhakti for 36,000 years, was a great achievement. He did not become bewildered by karma and all over his position as a king. He continued that devotional service through his whole reign. So he was very, very successful. And of course, a devotee does not aspire for anything except bhakti. So if he did bhakti for 36,000 years, that was satisfying to him. And that was his motive, is simply to continue bhakti forever. So doing it for 36,000 years
was not a problem for him. It was a great pleasure for him to do so. So in this way, he passed his life. He did his duty as a king. We see that others did not want to take up that duty. Prachetas didn't want to do that. They did not want to rule after this. They wanted to be brahmacharis all their life. Priyavrata did not want to be the king also. He refused for a long period of time. And yet later on he did become king. So the devotees take this as some sort of duty. They're not very eager to do this because they simply prefer to do devotional service. But they do this as a matter of duty to their ancestors and acting according to Manu, Swayambhu Manu, who is their predecessor. Well, if we have mixed devotion, even that is better than no devotion. So we have mixed bhakti. It also gives very good results. It also destroys karma, etc. Of course, not to the same extent, but it also gradually does so. Man, it is better than jnana. So one will get more than liberation, even from mixed bhakti. Because it's better than jnana. So one can go to the spiritual world with mixed bhakti, but we will not get the same intense relationship with the Lord as one does with pure bhakti. So one will have something like Shanta Rasa in the spiritual world.
Sometimes if I find some devotees produce difficulty, how can we clean it? I mean, is it his own karma or is it not?
Either way. The common factor is that the devotee accepts it as his karma and he should therefore simply accept it because he is responsible for this due to his activities he's done, so he accepts it. However, it may not be so, maybe the Lord's arrangement also. But he takes it as the Lord's mercy in any case. Yeah, in general, the Vedas have a predominance of that, not completely, because if the Vedas were all material, they would be rejected completely. So, no, a large portion of the Vedas has karma kanda, but we also have jnana kanda, upasana kanda, etc. So it's not completely material, but a large portion has to do with doing piety in order to counteract the sin and therefore get some material enjoyment. But there are sections of the Vedas also that are dealing with jnana, which is liberation, which is not material, and bhakti also.
And then question may be arised that Dhruva are killing innocent Vaishyas, or killing some thousands of Vaishyas, still have even back to God.
Yeah, I would say the power of bhakti is such that those things are not considered. Yeah, well, the Lord had guaranteed he would go to the spiritual world, so in spite of what happened, so it could be that those yakshas actually had some other karma and therefore they died for that reason or whatever. So, I can't say. Anyway, the Lord did not give any regard to that.
Dantrasi Sushumat Bhagavati Jai Sushumatamadati Jai Sushumatamadati Jai Sushumatamadati Jai.